Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
Career 360, hosted by Bernard Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. Now, a renewed focus on automation is what's anticipated once the COVID-19 health crisis passes. Firms will look to automation as a way to mitigate the risks that future crises pose to the supply and productivity of human workers. COVID-19 has made automation a boardroom imperative, as CEOs are now forced to expand business continuity and risk to include white swan events. How will automation continue to be a major force in reshaping work, and how will it be taking on a new urgency in the context of business risk and resiliency? We're speaking to Leslie Joseph, Principal Analyst at Forrester, for his perspectives on how companies see automation as an increasingly urgent need. Leslie, thanks for joining us again on Money FM. Unfortunately, in not so happy times, yeah.
True. Happy to be here.
Thanks for coming. So what is the connection, let's talk about, between recessions and automation?
So if you look at the last several decades of recessions that we've had since maybe even the 70s, the one dominant trend that we've seen is that in the aftermath of the recession, we've tracked unemployment recovery, which means how long has it taken in months typically for unemployment rates, for employment growth rates to come back to half of what they were pre-recession, right? And so the trend that we've noticed consistently is that back in the 70s and in the 80s, this time frame was usually 2 to 6 months, which means it took far less time for employment to rebound to similar to pre-recessionary levels. But the trend in the 90s and in as late as the recessions of the 2008-2009 financial crisis is that that time frame has extended to 17 to 23 months. Now, if you think about what's driving this is the fact that there has been a shift in investments away from people and away from rehiring the same people that you had to let go of before or during the recession. And that those investments have gone instead towards technology and towards digital and towards other things like that, that mitigate the impact and offset the impact of the labor that you lost. And that's the same trend that we anticipate to continue here. That job, the term jobless recovery that we've heard a lot of times being spoken back and forth in the context of a recession is actually very real. And what we see today and what we will continue to see in the aftermath of the coronavirus crisis as companies recover and emerge from it is going to be another jobless recovery.
So is the report also suggesting then the findings that let's just use automation, those jobs will not be recovered?
There's a slightly more nuanced answer to it, right? Because if you think about what kind of jobs are susceptible or not susceptible, the kind of analogy that I use a lot is imagine that you're at the edge of a beach, right? You're at the edge of the waterline and the tide is coming in. So there are different kinds of jobs that exist in the economy, and some of them are closer to the waterline in a sense. So they are more and more at risk of being submerged, whereas jobs that are further away from the waterline, they are at relatively lower risk of getting inundated or getting flooded. And the jobs that are closer to the waterline are the ones that you would typically expect are very susceptible to being eaten up by automation. So, for example, cubicle workers, coordinator, which are not the shoreline, the jobs that face the highest level of risk are typically the kind of jobs relatively more manual, relatively more repetitive. So, think a lot of cubicle worker kind of jobs or coordinator kind of jobs whose job has traditionally been to move information, to move data from place to place, from entity to entity. These kind of jobs are very amenable to being eaten up or being submerged right now, especially because the march of technology is inexorable, right? It's just coming on and on. And today we have capabilities within AI, machine learning,
automation, do you mean more digital solutions, more AI, as you mentioned, maybe?
The most easy, low-hanging fruit will be the automation of simple processes, right? So there will be a lot of investment in robotic process automation, for example, which will look at back-office functions and repetitive manual tasks that exist truly across the organization, to be honest, across purchasing, across human resources. Think about the people that spend time just sifting through resumes. Now, there are AI and there are RPA bots that can actually sift through resumes and define and determine which candidates are best fit. Mm. So therefore, you don't need that first level of individual, that first level of employee to screen and extract data, essentially. So those kind of jobs are at a lot of risk.
But automation comes at a cost, doesn't it? Let's talk about cost-benefit analysis then, Leslie.
Absolutely. And a lot of the cost is the human capital within the organization, because I would say, I would go out on a limb and say that the biggest cost of automation is really getting automation wrong. And when companies get automation wrong, they ignore the human aspects of automation and they invest roughshod over the employees that exist within the organization. And they often tend to, A, get the automation wrong because processes are hairy, right? They've evolved over years, over decades sometimes, and not everybody understands the automation as well before they go and automate it, or a process as well before they go and automate it. And so that tends to fail. But also the cultural aspect of this is extremely strong, because unless your automation is supported by the employees who are supposed to run the automation and to help you discover new opportunities to automate, you're always going to be on a back foot.
Likewise, though, it might seem intuitive that any rise in unemployment in the coming months will make human labor relatively cheaper. Might that have any impact, though, on slowing companies' move to technology to automate some of these jobs and without the consultation of their workforce, as you mentioned?
It will happen to some extent, but I think that will be more of a short-term blip. When we talk about automation and the future of work, we're very certain that this is a trend that has been coming at us even before the coronavirus crisis hit. And, you know, while there may be a temporary blip because of changes in workforce patterns and availability, demand and supply of labor, you really have to think about it in terms of the shoreline rising, right? So maybe there will be a short-term blip in the low-hanging, you know, the closer to the waterline kind of jobs, but in the long term, it will stabilize, and automation is coming here and it is coming to stay. It is here.
But if we use that analogy that you are using, the shoreline and the wave, and the closest to the shoreline will be the one easiest or quickest to be submerged, aren't all jobs kind of really at risk because it's just dependent on how big the tidal wave is?
That's a great question. Now, think about the jobs that are furthest away from the shoreline, right?
If it's a big wave, who cares? It's going for it.
Correct. Yeah. But you have to think about the kind of job. So if you think about the jobs that are furthest away from the shoreline, the ones that are at least risk, what kind of jobs are they? They form a spectrum of jobs that we really look at as human-centric jobs. And obviously, there's a wide variation in it. So I'll talk to you about the two ends of the jobs, and you can decide whether these are susceptible or not. But on one end, we have the kinds of jobs that we call digital elite, kind of personas that we call digital elite. These are the people who are building automations, the knowledge workers who create the intelligence that goes into the automations, right? The data scientists, the machine learning expert. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have people whose job is, you know, just doing human services to other humans. You know, somebody like a masseuse or somebody like a psychotherapist or a physiotherapist. These are jobs that you cannot substitute easily with machines. So even if machinery and even if automation and intelligence gets really, really good, there are still these jobs that, for example, you know, jobs that have, that require cross-domain knowledge. We know today that AI, as good as it is today, is really very narrow. So it can't straddle two different, completely disparate streams and ideas and areas and kind of bridge the gap between them. It's really very narrow, very single domain. So people who work within single domains and are knowledge workers within single domains still have a lot to worry about. But if your job involves having to connect the dots between different areas and themes that are disparate, then you are safe. So there are limitations to technology, and it cannot be, you know, the tidal wave can never be that big that all the jobs will go away. There will still be jobs that are very much safe and far away from.
Leslie, do you think there's a correlation between globalization and automation? I mean, before COVID, we were already seeing some nations becoming a bit more protectionistic, if you will, and we might see less globalization now, just not out of choice per se, but because of what's been happening. So globalization, automation, there a link?
There is a link, but I think the more interesting link to consider is the early stage backlash against automation, which I don't mean in a cultural sense, but if you've been watching the news a few weeks ago, you would have noticed that the Small Business Administration entity in the United States had to actually block RPA bots from accessing some of its systems because it was just inundated by the sheer amount of requests and the volume that was coming through, right? So globalization itself is interesting, and yes, it is a driver for automation because the more complex our business becomes, the less we are able to manage it just with a human workforce. And that's, I think that there's a lot more happening than just automation. There is digitization that plays in and other things like that that come into play. But I think the backlash against automation in very specific spaces like this is the bigger thing to consider, because a lot of times our systems are just not ready to deal with what automation can do. We are talking today about algorithmic managers, for example, right?
Leslie Joseph, once again, Principal Analyst at Forrester on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg.
or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.